The sermon I'm reading from this morning is entitled Look Away to Jesus. And I noticed that Brother Branham too, when the end of the year was approaching, he thought about how things should continue. This morning we are reading a sermon from the 29th of December, 1963, and this afternoon, one from December, 1964. And you will see that it was a matter close to his heart to take stock at the end of the year to see how far everything had progressed and how things should continue. The scripture text on which I would like to base this service can be found in the prophet Isaiah, chapter 21, the well-known text, verses 11 and 12. Isaiah 21, verses 11 and 12. The burden of Duma. He calleth to me out of Seir. Watchman, what of the night? Watchman, what of the night? The watchman said, the morning cometh, and also the night. If ye will inquire, inquire ye, return, come. We want to inquire, and we have come to ask the Lord, and to receive the answer from Him. Another translation says, in verse 12, the watchman said, the morning is coming, and also the night. The beauty of all these translations is that they are all correct, and they are all right. I am in the best position to judge this, because I have about 15 of them, and I read them diligently. They are all correct, and when you put them together, you have a very good overview of what God meant. We are living at the end of time. We have talked about how the Lord predicted a prophetic period in the history of the plan of salvation in the last days, and also how about a prophetic ministry was necessary to reorder and straighten out the straightforwardness, the righteousness of God, all the doctrinal things, to put everything in its proper light, to give us divine insight and an overview of everything that is important for the Church of the Living God. I would like to read a part of the sermon, and then, as the Spirit leads us, perhaps a scripture here and there that fits in with it. We will begin on page 4, about halfway down. Here Brother Branham says, we are grateful for the gospel light. Are we all? Yes. We are grateful for the gospel light. Not a gospel. Not a gospel according to men. But as Paul said, I received it from the Lord through a revelation of Jesus Christ. the divine, original gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul writes to the Corinthians, if someone comes to you and preaches another gospel, ye well bear with him. To the Galatians he writes in chapter 1, anyone who preaches another gospel is under a curse. So let us return to the gospel that our brothers preached in the beginning. For Jesus Christ is Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. With him there is no change, no alteration. He remains the same, and his word and his gospel remain the same. For this we are grateful to God. So, we are grateful for the gospel light. Jesus said, when he was here on earth, what I hear, that I speak. And now I'm going to say, just for our next about 10 minutes, just before I take my text, and a very short text, and then we will have the prayer line. I have come to a place in my ministry where I have to say something. Jesus said, what I hear, that I speak. And he said, I call you my friends, and a friend tells his friends all things. We have already read this word from the Gospel of John, chapter 15, where Jesus says, I no longer call you servants, but friends, because I have revealed everything to you, not just part of it, not just half-truths, but full clarity about the whole truth of God's Word. And this is how we know that we are friends of God. We have been taken out of enmity, reconciled with God, and are now friends with him. I will continue reading. Paul said in Acts 20:27, I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. And may I join in tonight and say the same thing to the best of my knowledge. I have not shunned, but declared to you the whole counsel of God. We see that Brother Branham is saying the same thing here that Paul said back then. To utter a sentence is one thing. Whether the sentence is true is another. How many may also read Acts 20:26-27 these days and simply say, I have declared to you the whole counsel of God. I heard this recently from a nice person who had understood the water baptism, and he was already referring to the whole counsel of God. The whole counsel of God includes the whole plan of salvation, the entire prophecy, the whole word. Yes, whole is whole. The whole counsel is the whole word of God, from beginning to end. So, not everything that is called the full gospel is really full. How many evangelists say to their audience, I preach the full gospel to you. And when you look into the vessel, there's nothing full at all. One is amazed how deep one can look into the vessel. Some are half, some are a quarter. Everywhere is a lack. We also still have a lack, but by the grace of God, we have the desire for it, to return to the full gospel of Jesus Christ. Do you know that this includes full restoration? Truly, with all gifts, with all powers, with the actual ministry of Jesus Christ, with the original divine authority, with everything that is testified to us in the Scripture. Can you all believe that? I will go one step further. If I understand God correctly, or perhaps it is just my wishful thinking, but it could also come true, I can believe that the glory of the second house will be greater than the glory of the first. I can believe that God can give a double measure through the restoration, and that, as we will see in a moment, we will at least experience what our brothers experienced in the beginning. On page 5, I read at the top, we believe in the same gospel, just the way the Bible is written. It's zeroed. And if the gun is exactly zeroed and in tune, if it strikes the target the first time, it will strike it the second time and every time. Brother Branham, who also had a special fondness for target shooting. I did target shooting when I was very young. I shot right after the Second World War, not during the war, but after the war, with German rifles, with French rifles, with British rifles. I had a large collection of rifles. Everything was put together, but I didn't have a particular fondness for it. Brother Branham was such a shooter. What did he say? He hit the center of the target 47 times in a row. So he was a good shooter. And here he takes this from his personal life as an example and says, if the thing is set up right, then it has to hit. Then it has to be a bullseye. We must not be satisfied with just shooting into the air somehow, but it must be bullseyes. I believe God will give us that. Now he moves on to a second example. In the next paragraph, if a tree or a vine puts out a branch, and that branch bears a certain fruit, then the next branch on that vine, it will bear the same kind of fruit. That also makes sense to us. Jesus said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. every time a new branch comes out of this vine, it must necessarily bear the same fruit. Here too, Brother Branham gave us an example of a citrus tree. I saw this once in California in January, when they pick oranges and so on, that a tree can actually bear a whole lot of fruit. There were grapefruits, big ones, and then the little mandarins, all on one tree. But then human hands had intervened. When it comes out in its original form, one fruit comes out, not two or three different ones, but one fruit, the original fruit, comes forth. So, when the Lord brings forth a new branch at the end of days, it must be the same tree and therefore the same fruit. I continue reading. Jesus is the vine and we are the branches. And the first branch, the first church that the vine put out, they wrote the book of Acts behind it. And that first branch baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And they had the living God among them that did the same things among them that he did when he was on earth. Therefore, the people take notice to them, though ignorant and unlearned, that they had been with Jesus, because his life was through them. Not just the church as a concept, but the church as a divine institution here on earth, as a body consisting of many members through whom the head can be effective, a church that can perform divine tasks, a church in which Christ can reveal himself as God revealed himself in Christ. Brother Branham, who was a very well-read man, and yet emphasized his simplicity, uses comparisons here that are very easy for us to understand. He goes on to say, as I have said, if I had the spirit of Beethoven in me, I would write songs like Beethoven wrote them. And then he draws comparisons with Shakespeare and Mozart and various great figures. And then, of course, the climax is this. When the Spirit of Christ, when Christ has taken dwelling in us, do you see what this is about? If someone said, Beethoven lives in me, what would we expect of that person? How old was he? How old was Mozart when he began conducting the choir? 6 or 8 years old, when he was already a Kapellmeister. These were people with a natural gift from God. We need people, natural people, who are divinely gifted, who don't have to fabricate something, But who can take up an instrument and make music? There must be a good atmosphere in the house of God. Not effort, but divine talents, divine gifts must be there. Not a lot of practice. There is some practice even now, especially among those who pray for the baptism of the Spirit, who then practice it on others. That is not genuine. No human being needs to practice the things of God. You don't practice the Holy Spirit. You receive the Holy Spirit. Amen. We can do without practicing. We want natural talents. God's natural talents, divine talents, through the Holy Spirit. Let's read on. Brother Kupfer, who is reading along, and Brother Marco Vori on the same page about the middle. What was Christ? The Word. He said, if ye abide in me, and my word in you, then ask what you will, and it will be done to you. If a man had said that, we might be a little slow to believe it. But since our Lord said it, and you see the connection, if my words abide in you, why did God reveal His word to us? Why did He make it alive for us? Why did He place it in our hearts? So that this scripture might also be fulfilled. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask what you will, it will be done to you. Because the word is there, it just needs the light. And the light makes it alive. We have received the word. Now the Spirit must make this word alive, so that it can become a light. It is about light, about enlightenment, about revelation. I continue reading. Now I am going to say something to you that I haven't said all along. And that is the thing that we have looked forward to for so long, for at least many years, 4 or 5 years, or maybe longer. The third pull has now been vindicated, and I'm sure you all know what it is. Now remember, there will never be an impersonation of that, 'cause it can't be. It cannot be. Now He is existent, and I am warned of this, that soon, in its entirety, things will happen that happened now in part, so that His existence can be proven to you. But it will not be used in a great way until this council begins to tighten up. Did you all hear that? Perhaps a brief explanation. Brother Branham had the evangelistic ministry, the doctrinal ministry, and the prophetic ministry. He referred to these three stages as the first, second, and third pull. He specifically associated the third pull with the opening of the seven seals, but also with a spoken word, with a word that God gave him, and which he then spoke in faith, and which then also came to pass. Here he tells us what has now happened in part will then happen in its entirety. What God has done a few times to hint at, to show what would happen on a large scale when the pressure comes upon the bride church. Do you understand that? Not when we wanted to, but when the time is right, when God's hour has come. It goes on to say, the Pentecostals can imitate almost everything, but when that time comes, when the squeeze comes down, then you will see what you have seen temporarily be manifested in the fullness of its power. That is enough for me. I do not need to interpret it to you, and you not to me. No one needs to teach anyone else about it. It is too clear to need further explanation. So, not today, but at the moment when it suddenly says, stop, you do not belong here. You have no right to hold church services, and so on and so forth. And then we will be deprived of our divine right to assemble, even under threat. How did the New Testament begin? Did we not read in the prayer, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. When the threatenings were uttered, to prison here, to prison there, beaten here, persecuted there. But do you know what Paul writes? And this from prison in Rome, even though I am chained, but the word of God is not bound. At that point, it will become clear how many will be patient. Yes. Yes. Thank you, Brother Pichler. Thank you, Brother Müller, and all of you. Thank you, brother. That's right. Oh, how quickly one would like to give Brother Huang a little nudge and say, come on, if you have been called by God, then you have been called. So get going, get going. Only when the pillar of fire rises, only when the hour of God strikes. We don't need to hurry. It is God's business. But we want one thing, to keep pace with the Lord and be connected to the work of God. By rushing ahead, we are an obstacle to the Lord. Let us let Him go ahead. Although He has just said what is now happening in some cases, it will very soon happen on a large scale. And then the Spirit of God pointed out to him, "Your expectation is close, it is good, but it will only happen when the squeeze comes." And now it says here, in the last paragraph, in the last two lines on page 5, "I must continue to evangelize." Imagine, I must continue to evangelize, just as I was commissioned in the beginning, I must continue on. A sermon from December 1963, after the opening of the seals, in great expectation of the most tremendous things that ever happened on earth. And then he says, "I must continue to evangelize, not even with teaching, not even with a prophetic ministry, but with evangelizing." What must it have meant to him to have been shown through revelation what God was going to do, and now to have to carry out the initial ministry once again before the end? Who can tell me that this does not apply to us in exactly the same way? It can happen, and I'm no prophet, you know that, but it can happen that evangelism must still precede this great thing, and suddenly the message believers will shake their heads and say, "Huh, what about this Brother Frank, who is now evangelizing in all the churches and denominations? Has he left the way of the Lord?" No, and again no. He has put his trust in God and understood that Matthew 24:14 must also be fulfilled. The gospel of the kingdom has to be preached in all the world for a witness, and then shall the end come. Not that there is prophecy in these things. It was a prophet whom God used to speak to us. But so that you all don't feel so bad, I will also make a confession of my own. I too am sometimes under time pressure and wish that something were already happening. And suddenly I learn, as I have already said, that calls are coming from all over the world, and that there is a hunger among people such as has never been seen before on earth. What should I tell these people who are hearing the gospel for the first time about the opening of the seven seals? What? That's not going to work. We'll have to start with the ABCs, won't we? Look, God is ordering everything correctly. Let's just put ourselves in the right place. I'll read on the last few words here on page 5. "You've had the word, and you know what to look for, how to stand. I must continue on in evangelism." Strange, I read on. "Friends of mine, keep still and just keep moving on, for the hour is approaching swiftly that when something is going to happen, he must continue evangelistically, telling his listeners, you know what to look for. You know what you are waiting for. But I must first continue in evangelism. For the hour is approaching swiftly that when something is going to happen, I must say something to comfort you. It is written in Revelation, behold, I come quickly. And the believers of the early days waited for the Lord. And to this day, he still tarries, but we know that the time must be fulfilled. Now, when Brother Branham says here, the hour is approaching swiftly, what is an hour in the eyes of God, or 20 years, or whatever? Let us not concern ourselves with concepts of time at all, but simply wait and see. And Brother Branham says this right in the middle of the second paragraph. I'm watching that spot and waiting for the time to use it. But it's going to be used. Everyone knows that. For as certain as the first was identified, so has the second been identified. And if you will think real closely, you who are spiritual, as the Bible said, here is wisdom. The third is properly identified. We know where it is. The third pull is here. It is here. It has been manifested several times. But in all its greatness and breadth, it will only be revealed at the appointed time. I continue reading. It is so sacred that I mustn't say much about it. And today there are many who say they know a great deal about it and talk past God without understanding what it is all about. It is so sacred that I mustn't say much about it. As he told me in the beginning, I will read the last three lines from this passage. This will be the thing that, to my opinion, I don't say the Lord tells me this. This will be a thing that will start the rapturing faith for the going away. I must lay quiet for just a little while. Revealing, he does not need to be here for a while. It has already been a while. We do not know how long this while will last. But here he speaks of his conviction that in the last supernatural round, the rapturing faith will be brought about in those who are to be raptured. And that is enough. As long as it happens before the rapture, we are fine with it. And if we are allowed to be part of it, we are even happier. Grammatically incorrect, but we long for it to happen. I continue reading. Now remember, and who is listening to this tape, you might see such a change in my ministry right away. dropping back, not going up, dropping back. What is that? He is waiting for tremendous things. And then he says, you will notice a change in my ministry, not an upswing, not larger crowds, but there will be fewer. Yes, that doesn't suit us at all, especially those who sometimes preach, who know very well that it is better to speak to 100 people than to 10, and to 1,000 better than to 100, and to 10,000 better than to 1,000. That is simply the nature of things. When I have a crowd of people in front of me, then there is music. Yes, one of my brothers, who is sitting here in the front row, said to me after our recent visit to Belgium, Brother Frank, it was completely different in Belgium. Yes, something like this you said, my brother. But here I am sometimes a little inhibited. A prophet is not without honor except in his own country and so on. But you should experience what is coming somewhere in the world. It is just tremendous. Now back to what Brother Branham said. A dropping back, not going up. There will be less and not more. And now listen carefully. We have to wait just a minute until this happens over here to catch up. Then the time comes. Yes, until the day comes, until the hour comes, until God intervenes supernaturally. And as surely as God lives, He will intervene supernaturally. God not only made His Word alive and made us a divine reality, God will confirm the living Word among us that we too will be made alive. I will continue reading. Now there's a little prophecy. Pay close attention. There is coming a time to where this nation is going to exercise all the power that the beast had before it, which was pagan Rome, when it became papal Rome. See, this nation will do that. Revelation 13 plainly explains it. The Lamb come up out of the earth. The other beast come up out of water, thickness and multitudes of people. This Lamb come up where there were no people. Those who have read the last brochure will now smile a little and think to themselves, well, now we know where Brother Frank got that idea. I have nothing to hide. I am grateful to God that He sent a prophet to reveal all these things to us. Be honest. When we read in Revelation, there is a beast with 7 heads and 10 horns. Oh, then we say, goodness gracious, that's a monster. What am I supposed to do with this? And when we then read, a lamb rises up out of the earth and looks like a lamb and has 2 horns. Oh, then we say, poor lamb. What can we do with that? And when we read, a whore is riding upon the beast, then we could say, poor beast. Yes. If God had not given us revelation, if God had not given us enlightenment, where would we be today? In the first seal, we read about a white horse and a rider. Then we think of a horse race. Is it true or not? How grateful we are to God that He has revealed His word through the mouth of a prophet. Is that so? Praise be to the name of the Lord. Has God's word become precious to you, brother, sister? Are we grateful for the privilege the Lord has given us to sit under the truthfulness of God and His word? I have another tract lying on my table. I don't know if it was written by Hochmut. Many people write many things. I don't know exactly who wrote it. In any case, it condemns the television as the image of the beast that could speak. My goodness, a television is a television, and binoculars are binoculars. You have to see things biblically. And I tell you who sees the furthest. It is he to whom God has given prophetic vision by grace. He not only sees into that box, but he sees into the word, and he sees things in the kingdom of God. Let's read on. Last paragraph on page 6. A lamb represents religion, the Lamb of God. And remember, it spoke like a lamb. It was a lamb. And then after a while, it received power and spoke like a dragon and exercised all the power the dragon had before. And the dragon is Rome always. A clear statement. Some say, Brother Frank, you are a little too open. You say too much. Yes. If I don't say it, who will? Those who don't know it at all cannot say it. And even if some knew, they might not have the courage to say it. But we can confidently say everything. Nothing can happen to us anymore. We have an obligation to pass on God's word. It goes on here. Don't you see it? Roman denominations, a mark, Protestant denomination, a image unto the beast, the union of all Protestants. And it was shameful when the boss from Rome came to Geneva and told the World Council of Churches, I am the spiritual authority. And all the Protestant leaders nodded their heads. It's a pity I wasn't there. I don't know if anyone else would have nodded. Let's read on. That will force all Protestants like a union. So, the formation of the image of the beast, I'll read again, making a power that will force all Protestants like a union. You'll have to be into this council of churches, or you won't be able to have fellowship. Do you see where this is all leading? Of course. Things have already progressed further than we could perceive externally. Everything is running. Not on the surface, of course. I'll read on page 7. Persons like ourselves, we are going to be cut out of all that. That's exactly because they won't be able to do it. It's tightening. And then when that time comes and the press comes to a place to where you are pressed out, then watch what I'm fixing to tell you in a few minutes. So when this pressure comes and we are actually pushed out of everything, there are still believers here and there, members of such associations, and I happen to know one of the last ones that was formed here after the Second World War. And the leaders of this religious movement have asked the World Council of Churches to be recognized and accepted. When the man of God, who said at that time, I would like to go to Karlsruhe when Brother Branham came, but he said, I am not worthy to untie the shoes of this man of God. And today, his followers want to be recognized. The man would turn in his grave if he knew that, if he could see that. But what is it all about? Everyone wants recognition. No one wants to come away empty-handed. Everyone wants to sit at the green table as well-fed as possible and have a share of the cake. And they don't know where it will all lead. Those who seek human recognition have already lost it with God. Anyone who has a desire to be accepted into the Antichrist system has not yet been accepted by God. That may sound harsh, but it is the plain truth. And you can see clearly that I'm not wearing gloves. What did Brother Ram say back then? The gospel must be preached without gloves. Not gentle here and gentle there, feeling here, feeling there, but with a clear sense of the things of God. And it is pressing with all its might. The only thing holding him back is the Holy Spirit, who is striving to bring the church of the living God to where it belongs. I will continue reading in the second passage. Watch. Then the third pull. When? Today, now? Then. Then. Watch the third pull then. And now comes something that only those who have spiritual understanding will understand at the moment. I will read it anyway. Watch the third pull then. It will be absolutely to the total lost, but it will be for the bride and the church. Now, as with Bible prophecy, tell me what it will be. It will be absolutely to the total lost. And in the same way, it will be for the bride and for the church. That is 100% true. The gospel will be preached to some for a witness, not for salvation, but for a witness. It will be preached to them. And the others who let themselves be snatched away, who accept the word, will be snatched out of the fire like a brand in the last round. The last round will not leave out the unbelievers, nor the believers, nor the elect. There will be something for everyone. Hallelujah. Praise be to the name of the Lord. I will continue reading. Now we are closer than it seems to be. I don't know when, but it's real, real close. I may be building a platform for somebody else to step on. That may also be the case. We do not know, but it is possible. With God, anything is possible or not. With God, all things are possible. I read here. We are closer than it seems. I don't know when it will be, but it is real, real close. I may be building a platform for somebody else to step on. Woe to the man who is given the task. I may be taken before that time. What am I reading here? I may be taken before that time. What time is he talking about? The time when everything is united in the World Council of Churches? The time when pressure will be exerted? The time when the third pull will happen in its all-encompassing, majestic way? And then he says, I may be taken before that time. Today we look back and realize with a sad heart he was taken home before the time he was waiting for, the time he spoke of, came. This was actually the case with all the prophets of the Old Testament. They had great expectations of seeing what had been revealed to them. I am thinking in particular of the prophet Isaiah. No one was mocked as much as he was, for he had prophesied, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, a virgin and pregnant. That is a paradox in itself. People did not understand it. What do you think was done to him? Isaiah, you who are about to depart, where is your fulfillment? Where is the prophecy? Where is all this? Where are the things you spoke of? And if such a question had been asked, I would give you the answer he might have given to those who asked. Rest assured, every word of God that has come from my mouth will be fulfilled when the time comes. And then we read in the New Testament, when the time was fulfilled. Hallelujah! When the time was come. Not when Isaiah wanted it or others wanted it, but when the time was fulfilled. I continue reading above the middle on page 7. I don't know when he will come. He doesn't tell us that, but I do believe that we are so close that I would never die with old age. Then he states his age, 54. Well, he went home at 56. So let's read a little further. Unless I'm shot, killed, or something other, some way killed. Just old age wouldn't kill me. That too has been fulfilled. He saw how the windscreen had been completely shattered, and he heard the loud bang and thought it was a shot that had been fired. Now let's read on. And I want to say this. I've never said it before. But according to Scripture, according to what he said, 1933, on the river down there, everything has happened just exactly. I may not do it, but this message will introduce Jesus Christ to the world. Very clear. I may not do it, but this message will introduce Jesus Christ to the world. Not some knowledge, the Lord. As John was able to say at that time, "Behold the Lamb of God." This is how we will be able to point to the Lord. Do you realize how important the message is? Do you realize that this is what our spiritual life consists of? That it is about the Word of God for our days? It's not about threshing empty straw, but the full gospel, the whole Word of God. I may not do it, but this message will introduce Jesus to the world. For as John the Baptist was sent to forerun the first coming of Christ, so is the message to forerun the second coming. Amen. So is the message to forerun the second coming. And John said, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." So it paralleled it in every way. And I know it will. The message will go on. When Brother Branham was called home, you all know how it is at such times. Some people rejoiced. And one of the most prominent Pentecostal preachers even got carried away and made a remark that he would have been better off not making. You know that Brother Branham spoke of the angel of the Lord who was with him. But you also know that he stood helplessly on the platform, waiting for the angel of the Lord to come. And this man, when he heard of Brother Branham's passing, said, "The angel who was with Brother Branham must have been on holiday that day." Just imagine that. There are people on earth who have lost all fear of God. They are so convinced of themselves and do not know what they are saying or doing. Who said that the angel of the Lord was always there somewhere at his right hand? But when the prophetic ministry began, he had to be there. It was simply part of it. I can also give you scriptures on this subject. I would give you scriptures that would do you a lot of good. Now we are here. Time has passed. At the end of this reflection, on page 4, about halfway down, it talks about what the Lord said at the river back then. I will read it again. As John the Baptist was sent to forerun the first coming of Christ. You are sent to forerun the second. There it was. One moment. There it was. When that angel, that light that's been thoroughly identified both by the church, by the word, by signs, by everything, has identified it, that light for its first time to appear in public. I haven't read the context, so you don't know it. Brother Branham was preaching in an auditorium in San Antonio, California, and suddenly a man stood up at the back, and Brother Branham said he spoke as if fired from a machine gun in another tongue and sat down. And suddenly one man stood up on the platform, a cowboy, a man dressed in cowboy clothes, and gave this prophecy or interpretation that I have just read. I will read it again. And when this was spoken, the interpretation contained exactly what the angel of the Lord had said there by the river 11 years ago. And the man did not know Brother Branham, who had spoken there. That was in the early days. One would have to look up the date when it happened. And the cowboy friend on the platform had surely only gone there to see everything up close. One spoke in tongues, the other interpreted. And in the interpretation, what the Lord had said on the 11th of June 1933 at around 2 p.m. was repeated. These are real things. Not just the Lord is here now and will feed you in green pastures. That is true, but it is not a prophecy. It is already written in Psalm 23. So, the Spirit of God is at work. Let's summarize. I have underlined some things, but there is much more that could be read here. It's actually too good not to read. But you know what? You can all read it yourselves. I am not the only one here who can read. Read this sermon again at home. Look Away to Jesus, 29th of December, 1963. And then you will be able to follow the footsteps. And I'm sure that the Holy Spirit will make it very clear to each and every one of you. How many of you now understand the overall situation a little better? So it's not just me. I also look for the fault in myself. Believe me, I don't look for it in anyone else. I don't know anyone I would have to go to and say, it is you who is hindering God's work. I don't know anyone I would have to say to, you are standing in the way of the Lord. I simply don't know anyone like that. Do you know anyone like that? I'll tell you when you can meet them. Partly when you look in the mirror. No one else. Everyone stands in their own way. But you know what it is. We know this from our early years of driving car. When you were talking to people in the car, I haven't had an accident, but sometimes things happen in traffic, and then you just blame the people who were talking, instead of realizing that you weren't paying attention yourself. Everyone is very quick to grab others and say, listen, if you don't, and so on, stop it. It's not the other person. You and I, we are all alone. And everyone stands before their God. Let's not look for someone else to blame. But please, don't say, well, if it's not time yet, then we have time. And when the time comes, no, no, this is preparation time. Nothing comes by itself. This present time is preparation for the time that is to come. And we must not miss the connection. We must move forward with the Lord. Have we understood that? Otherwise, we could actually say, huh, the squeeze is not here, and this and that is not happening yet, so we are excused. No one is excused. Let us draw closer to the Lord. Consecrate ourselves completely to Him. Believe completely and say, Lord, cleanse me. Sanctify me. Draw me closer to you. Reveal yourself to me. This desire must be within us. And so we walk with the Lord and move forward together, shoulder to shoulder, trusting and believing in the living God. The Lord has spoken. Who should not hear? The Lord God has spoken. Who should not prophesy? We have spoken prophetically. We have presented the prophecy to the people of God. Hallelujah! Praise and glory be to the name of the Lord. A little prophecy, almost anyone can give that. There's nothing wrong with that. If it is genuine and good, we thank the Lord for it. But we are grateful to God for the great revealed word that was given to us by Brother Branham. And this great man of God had to complain and said, in the middle of my ministry, people with gifts interrupted me and operated their gifts in the middle of the altar call and so on. It was a sign that something was wrong with the people when they hindered a prophet of God in the midst of his ministry. And all these aunties who prophesied there are not in the message. They are nowhere to be found. They were simply too proud and too spiritual to submit themselves. Blessed are those who consider themselves spiritually poor. They can be made rich by God. And we want to be among them. I have become afraid of spiritual people. Yes, really. Not afraid to run away, but I don't want much or anything at all to do with their spirituality. I prefer people who have both feet on the ground, but their hearts in heaven. God wants to make us like that. Who is thankful for such a sermon by Brother Branham? Amen, all of us. Let us stand and worship. Faithful God, what can we bring you, Lord? We come as we are, Lord. Accept us in your mercy. Grant us this grace, Lord, that we may humble ourselves so that we see ourselves unworthy. But nevertheless, you have deemed us worthy and made us your people. You speak to us, Lord, not as to people who are not meant to understand, but you speak to us who are meant to understand openly and clearly. Thanks and honor, praise and glory and worship be to you, the holy and true God, who made heaven and earth and who prepares a people for eternity, for glory. We worship you and thank you, Lord, with all our hearts, also for this morning hour. We thank you for your servant and prophet, whom you have sent in our days, and everything must go as you will, Lord. We cannot insert our own thoughts or plans here, but it will go as you will. Praise be to your wonderful name, O Lord. Let us distance ourselves from our own thoughts, and let us pay attention to your work. Praise be to your wonderful name, O Lord. It is so wonderful in your presence. It is so glorious to sit under the sound of your word and hear what you have to say, Lord. All honor, all praise, all glory be to you in this morning hour. We ask you to continue to be with us, Lord. Keep us in your peace. Keep us in your blessing until this afternoon and beyond, O Lord, is our heartfelt prayer in Jesus' holy name. Hallelujah.
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 Hallelujah.